Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Serie A fan. The Scudetto curse strikes again as the Italian teams fall short in Europe. And UEFA add to their pain by turning up the difficulty in the draw. It's not all doom and gloom though, at least not for Inter, who take a last lap lead in the race for winter champions, nor for an impressive Empoli who upset Napoli. But there's only one victorious match this weekend, and it's not Allegri. All that plus updates from elsewhere in this episode of Scudetto. Hello and welcome back to Scudetto. Let me just start this week by apologising to all of the teams that we cursed last week. It was a pretty bad showing for Italian teams in Europe after we bigged up the games. But I mean, at least Inter got a nice easy draw for the knockouts, so there's that. How are you guys getting on, Kenny? We'll come to you first. Have you been having a good week?
I have, or, yeah.
Weekend, rather.
Yeah, I had a good weekend. I'm doing well for now. I've just had my booster dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, so might not be doing as well tomorrow morning, who knows, but for now, very, very good. Thank you. How are you doing, Oscar?
Yeah, not too bad. I need to get myself booked in for a booster this week at some point. It seems to be a lot of the new variant going around in London.
Yeah.
Touch wood, I've steered clear of it so far.
And Manchester as well, I hear.
Yeah. Steered clear of it when I was there as well. Boaz, how about you? How are you getting on?
I kept complaining. It was a pretty standard weekend, and nothing happened. Very, very chill.
Good to know you kept calm. And how about on the beers front? How are we all doing? I've managed to get one this week.
Good work.
Better than last week.
Back on form. What have you got? Don't say Heineken.
I've got a... No, it's not. It's a Beavertown Nanobot.
Tremendous.
Both you and I have spoken before of our love of neck oil, but it is quite strong for a weeknight. So this is quite similar in flavor, but it's a bit weaker. It's 2.8%.
Oh, wow. Interesting. I didn't realize they'd brought out a low alcohol one.
Yeah, it's going down quite nicely. And hopefully I remain more coherent throughout the podcast. What have you got?
I disapprove, by the way.
I've got a BrewDog Planet Pale, which is a bit boring because I had it a few weeks ago, but I enjoyed it a lot. So, yeah, I got myself a 4-pack of that. I didn't actually go and do my hunt this week, so just grabbed what was available, and thankfully it's a good one.
What was available and carbon neutral / negative.
Yeah.
Well done for keeping the podcast green. How about you, Baz?
Following a conversation with a friend of the pod, Peter Fraser, on Twitter, I ran out and got myself a Micheller Gold, which is a collaboration between the Micheller Brewery and a local brewery that I can't remember their name, but very nice.
Well, that's interesting. When I was looking for this in the supermarket, I saw that there was a Micheller BrewDog collaboration that I nearly bought. Maybe I'll try that one next week. Anyway, let's start off with the Champions League draw and all of the European
Which
draws,
one?
But particularly the Champions League draw that I referenced in the intro. Yeah, which one exactly, Kenny? Obviously, all of our listeners will know that there was a mistake in the first Champions League draw.
Ajax is a great draw for Inter.
Yeah, precisely. So first time around, Inter drawing Ajax and Juve drawing Sporting. There was a mistake in the draw, as everyone will know by now, and it was redone an hour later. Inter drew Liverpool and Juve drew Villarreal. So a much harder fixture for Inter and a more difficult fixture for Juve as well. Atalanta obviously struggled against Villarreal.
Yeah, and they robbed us of the Portugal narrative in the run-up to the World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah.
Of course, Juventus also got knocked out by a Portuguese opposition last year, so that's extra narrative, but that narrative was deleted like it never happened.
Yeah, and obviously they robbed us of the Ronaldo Messi, which could be the last time those two ever were due to play each other. So I'm just disappointed all around, really.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the games obviously closer to the time, but we should mention also the Europa League draw. Which, like you were saying, Kenny, they seem to have improved that competition no end by cutting the number of teams down. Some real box office games in particular. Napoli have got Barcelona, Atalanta going first away to Olympiacos, and Lazio bring out Porto, which, I mean, I think all of those games could have been Champions League clashes in recent years.
Yeah. I mean, who do you guys actually think is the favorite in that clash between Napoli and Barcelona?
Probably Napoli.
It really depends on what side Napoli show up with, because as we've mentioned in past episodes, their current injury crisis is a bit much, but it's not like Barcelona are setting the world on fire right now.
Yeah.
How about, do you fancy Atalanta going away?
Well, I said I fancied Atalanta against Villarreal, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, let's try not to curse any more Italian teams, or at least save the curse until the game week.
Scudetto Pod will focus exclusively on the Bundesliga and Ligue 1 from now on, so as to avoid cursing.
That's my keeping up with the Italian segment, so leave it to me.
Yeah, and the other draw was the Europa Conference League. However, it was only for the teams that finished second, Roma being the sole Italian team in that competition. And they won their group, so they go automatically through to the next round. So nothing to speak about there just yet.
We should quickly mention, though, that Roma winning that group is a little bizarre considering their 6-1 loss to Bodo Glimt, and also the fact that Bodo Glimt came away with a point at the Olimpico. And also, at times, it felt like Mourinho didn't really care for this competition. So I think it's a good thing to see Italian teams go as far as possible, but they didn't give the impression that they cared.
Yeah. Well, I have to see how they get on. I don't know if I mentioned on this the podcast before, but I'm planning to be in Albania around the time of the final, so maybe I'll see Roma in action.
And try an Albanian craft beer.
Yeah, indeed.
You have to update us.
All right. I will indeed.
If they redo the draw again, does it mean Milan get brought back into the tournament? I mean, how many times do they have to do it for Milan to be in the round, in the next round?
I think you've got to wait for the Super League for that.
Okay.
And on that note, Inter winning 4-0 at home to Cagliari. And they're starting to look like favourites for winter champions, considering how things went elsewhere, aren't they, Baz?
Yeah, I think Inter's recent run of form has been nothing short of formidable. And with that kind of squad depth and some of the players in the team, it's obvious that they're able to swat aside teams like Cagliari quite easily. But I think it's the way they play and how generally entertaining Inzaghi has them playing that really shines. And it's not such a surprise that they are top of the league considering their squad. It's more of a surprise that Inzaghi's methods have sunk in so quickly. And as an aside, maybe we should give Inzaghi credit for his work at Lazio as well, because Maurizio Sarri, who is no fool, seems to be struggling in Rome right now. So again, Inzaghi is really winning plaudits, and the way Inter are playing is a lot more entertaining than under Conte, perhaps slightly less effective at times, but I'm sure the fans are delighted. And with the aforementioned draw against Ajax, they can really go far in this competition.
Yeah, and I think they've got three more points, don't they, at this stage of the season than they had last season under Conte. So, I mean, hats off to Inzaghi. And yeah, like Boaz, I'm looking forward to that Ajax clash very, very much.
Yeah, they're definitely the form team. That's 5 or 6 wins in a row. They go to the top of the table, and they've got Salernitana and Torino coming up. So assuming that they don't slip over either of those, they will be Serie A winter champions. Hopefully that bodes as well for them as it did for Milan last year, right, Baz?
In the spirit of honesty, they also drew against Milan, but arguably they were the better team and probably should have won that game as well, which would have put them even further ahead. They are kind of being favored by their rivals up top's terrible form at the moment, but they're playing their own games and winning, and that's all you can ask for from a team.
Yeah.
And let's talk about their rivals' terrible form for a minute, shall we? Where do you want to go first? Do you want to go to Napoli, or do you want to go to Milan's terrible form?
I'm happy to start with Napoli and say that in the first 11 games of the season, they only dropped 2 points. And since then, they've seemingly been dropping points almost every week. This latest game week, you'd think that a match against Empoli, however good Empoli are, should be a guaranteed 3 points, particularly as it's at home. But as we keep saying, Napoli really miss their star players, and maybe also some of the momentum that took them so far at the beginning of the season has faded a little bit. I wouldn't completely discount Napoli yet, but I do feel that of the four teams up top right now, they're the ones who seriously risk dropping off based on their form.
Yeah, you're right. That's three in a row without a win. Kenny, do you wanted to give some credit to Empoli, or did you want to?
Yeah. I wanted to jump in to just basically say, I think this is like the fifth time or maybe sixth time that I've been able to watch Empoli play this season. And just to give them some credit, because I absolutely love watching them play. I love the fact they're so organized. I mean, normally we say that's normally in terms of entertainment value, that's normally a negative. You know, they're organized, they're hard to break down, but they just have this like incredible shape to them. You watch them and every single player knows where they have to be at what point. Their work rate is exceptional. I mean, you see them sometimes in defense and they've got kind of two banks sat on the edge of the box. And again, you think that's a sign of parking the bus, but it's not, because those midfielders, just whenever there's a break, they absolutely burst forward, but then they bust the gut to get back. The way they play as well, it's not like it's long ball, counter-attacking football. It's really kind of flowing, expansive, almost Simone Inzaghi-esque, actually, some of their counter-attacking football. I really, really have enjoyed watching them play in Serie A. And I think that's them up to, is it eighth? They are now in the league, and just a couple of points off of the big guns. So yeah, I mean, that wasn't an easy game for Napoli. And I think a lot of the kind of commentary in the press has been about how bad Napoli are, but Empoli have picked up like three really, really big results. They've beaten Fiorentina, they've beaten Roma, they've now beaten Napoli. I mean, I think we need to kind of give them some credit, really. They are a very, very good team, and they've not like gone out and splashed the cash or anything. They've kind of made some really shrewd signings, improved the squad undoubtedly with like a couple of loans and things. And yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that was kind of doom and gloom for Napoli off the back of that result. Although perhaps the it's more a case of the evidence mounting of these results that have been happening since, as Boaz mentioned earlier, they started having those injuries. A couple of good points for Napoli as well, though, is that Anguissa did come back into this game, and Insigne obviously did as well, although he is now a doubt for the big game at the weekend because he seems to have aggravated that injury, maybe rushed back too soon. And I guess we've got to talk about Zielinski, right? Coming off with concerning breathing difficulties and things like that. And it's something that we saw with, it was Lindelof, wasn't it? Man United as well this weekend, I believe. So, I mean, that was obviously very, very concerning. But the latest that I read, really, really encouraging news that all of the tests are coming back, that he seems okay. But it seems like there was genuine concern from the medics and from the player himself. So fingers crossed that the news stays good. The story of Eriksen's obviously fresh in our minds as well. So, yeah, sad to see him come off so early. But, yeah, positive noises coming out since then.
And perhaps to provide another slight caveat for Napoli's unexpected loss, we have to mention that they did play Leicester City in the Europa League in midweek, and it was quite a harrowing experience, a hard-fought game, which eventually Napoli won, which we should also credit them for winning that game. So, I mean, it's not easy to juggle two competitions in the same week, particularly when you're playing Premier League opposition.
Yeah, and particularly with all the injuries they have that we've spoken about on previous weeks. Yeah, as you say, credit to Empoli, and don't want to put all of the emphasis on a bad Napoli performance. That said, let's talk about the bad Milan performance. Boaz, Udinese 1, Milan 1 in the end. Zlatan Ibrahimovic rescuing a point for Milan.
It was not the best performance, let's put it this way. And at times it felt like the match could have gone on for 900 minutes and Milan would not have scored. Udinese, despite sacking their manager, were very organized and were able to pinpoint Milan's, let's call them, weaknesses. The goal Udinese scored comes from a defensive error from Milan. Some people on the internet are blaming Bennacer for what was quite a tough pass to, I believe, Bakayoko. But then Bakayoko miscontrols it, and Portuguese striker Beto, who's actually having a great season, and you may remember from earlier in the year, in our podcasting year, he was actually the very last signing of the Serie A transfer window. So in any case, he was one-on-one with the keeper, with both Tomori and Romagnoli very far from him. His first shot was stopped by Mike Maignan, but he was quite lucky with the bounce coming back out to him. And then Udinese defended resolutely for the rest of the match, with only a piece of genius from Mr. Zlatan rescuing the point. But overall, Milan seemed like they lack ideas. They don't have a cutting edge, and particularly against teams that close themselves down, they really don't know how to get on the score sheet. This comes after a week with a very disappointing loss to Liverpool. Obviously, there's no shame in losing to a great club like with some great players like Liverpool. But considering Klopp's heavy rotation and considering that Milan actually went ahead, they didn't really show spirit once again. And it feels like a missed occasion. Actually, the whole Champions League campaign does. And this malaise spilled over into the Udinese game, it felt. It looked like the players were not just physically tired like Napoli, but also kind of mentally strained.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that winter break. Well, are there any other instance from the game we should mention? I mean, there was a ludicrous red card at the end of the game, wasn't it? From Success just flying in on the keeper as he was trying to boot it out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of shithousery, so I've got to say that Success was successful in his attempt. He could have just stopped Maignan from taking the shot, but instead he opted to kind of clothesline him, like in the old, like in WWE. And then obviously there was a lot of handbags, a lot of people pushing each other around. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, of course, got involved. I actually feel that the whole situation was detrimental to Milan because it ran the clock down. But such is life, and I'm sure he'll be facing at least a 2-match ban.
All right. Before we move into the best of the rest, any words on Atalanta beating Verona 2-1 away? Just looking at you, Kenny.
Yeah, well, I mean, an absolutely huge result. And this was a really, really tricky tie for Atalanta. Obviously, going into it off of the disappointment of the Champions League, where personally, I actually felt like maybe they deserved a little bit more than they got out of that game. But yeah, they kind of put it behind them, and they went down early as well against Verona. And we've spoken quite a lot about how good Verona have actually been this season with Simeone as well on absolute fire. You know, going there and being 1-0 down, not an easy task to turn that around. I saw a few Atalanta fans on social media who were kind of saying, oh, it wasn't the greatest performance, but, you know, the important thing is to get the results. But I actually thought it was a very, very creditable away performance. I thought the first half in particular was relatively entertaining. It was great to see Miranchuk get his chance and take it with a very well taken goal. He had a lot of work to do there, and you know he's one that people have as good as being out the door. So I mean, this one along with the Roma game, obviously coming up this weekend, were the two which I felt Atalanta needed to get over before we could discuss whether they were real title contenders. And that's one of the two out of the way. But obviously Gasperini is still refusing to be drawn into that. But I don't know. Did we want to speak about Venezia Juve as well? Because it's kind of quite jarring that we're talking about the top four and the title contenders, and Juve are nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, well, that's because they're nowhere to be seen in the table. They're sitting at some.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing about Juve this season, isn't it, really? I mean, we can talk about whether they can put a run together and, you know, get themselves into the Champions League race, but I just watch Juve and they don't look like a Champions League team at all. They look like they are exactly where, well, possibly, it's, if anything, their league position kind of flatters them, and they could have been, I actually watched the Venezia game, and Juve probably could have been a couple of goals up by halftime, but they came out after halftime and Venezia absolutely bossed the first sort of 20 to 25 minutes of that. And yeah, they just look so predictable and so devoid of ideas. And Dybala obviously came off quite early. And without Dybala and Chiesa, you're just like, where is the invention going to come from? So unless there are any sort of shock transfers in January, then Juve, I think, will do well to make the Europa League at this rate.
Yeah, I was quite confused on Sunday of everyone tweeting about how great Max had done and wondering why he'd done so great after they'd after that result.
Yeah, I think Juve would need a greater comeback win than Max to do that.
Yeah.
But speaking of Max, I have to say that his entire demeanor...
Which Max?
Allegri. I have to say his entire demeanor this season is quite annoying. If I were a Juventus fan, I'd find it I'd be quite pissed off with him. He's constantly like having a laugh, he's smiling, he's constantly referring to how bad his team is, basically. And like, you're the coach, it's up to you to try and change something. Obviously the way Juventus are playing is at the very least not very proactive, so I expected more from him in this return to Juventus. Although in his credit, Chelsea did hand him the top spot in the Champions League group somehow this week. So there is that, at least.
Yeah. Let's move on to best of the rest and start with Salernitana, who have cemented their position as the worst promoted team after getting smashed 4-0 by Fiorentina. A couple of nice goals for Vlahovic, but still just a terrible performance. And
near the Derby County of Serie A.
What week doesn't go by when Vlahovic scores a couple of great goals these days?
Yeah, well, maybe only a couple more. Let's wait and see what happens in the transfer window. But Sassuolo continued their record against the top seven. They beat Lazio 2-1. Great goal by Berardi. I think it's missing out on the goals honourable, so I can mention it at this point of the show. Sampdoria won the Genoa derby 3-1, which was a poor showing by both teams after Kenny talked it up as game of the week last week. Sirigu gifting Samp two goals. And then Genoa kind of coming to life a little bit at the end, showing some signs, created some actual chances, and they even managed to score their first goal under Shishenko.
I swear he must really be itching to get the shirt on and put himself up front.
Yeah, that was another game that I watched, and that was probably better advised not to watch it. So just don't listen to my advice on games to watch in the weeks to come.
Well, let's just scrap that section this week, shall we? We should just say, though, that Roma beaten Spezia 2-0, and they move back ahead of Juventus into sixth.
With 45,000 people in the stadium, which is very nice to hear.
Yeah. All right, it's time for us to decide on the good week, bad week. We've obviously heard about how great Empoli were against Napoli, so they have to be a nomination for good week. Let's start with that. Inter obviously steaming ahead into first place 2 weeks from ahead of the winter break, also have to be in the conversation. Although maybe their Champions League draw second time around disqualifies them, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, my inclination would be to give it to Inter. They've gone top of the league. They were so far behind a few weeks ago. But you guys tell me that we gave them it a couple of weeks ago.
And, also, they didn't have the best result in the Champions League in the midweek, if we have to be honest. Albeit, they were already qualified.
Yeah, and I much as I've raved on about Empoli, I don't think they're going to be recipients of good week. Many weeks, so I would wholeheartedly endorse giving it to Empoli. It was a really great performance, albeit with a fortuitous winning goal.
Okay.
A bag net. Well,
good week, Empoli. It's done. Bad weeks maybe has a few more nominations this week. Juventus isn't here, but we've got Salernitana, Cagliari, Genoa. Any other?
Did we end up giving it to Genoa last week, or did we spare them?
No, we ended up giving it to Venezia instead.
I mean, it's clear I love Andrei Shevchenko. I would have his babies, but this one form that, I mean, when when Genoa last won a game, it was in September. I mean, we were still walking around in flip-flops and shorts, and now it's almost Christmas and Wham is playing everywhere. And
I mean, I live in Edinburgh, so I wasn't. I never walk around in flip-flops and shorts.
Well, in any case, we were hearing the last of the summer bangers, and now it's a bunch of Mariah Carey and Wham hits being played, and occasionally the Pogues. So that's pretty shocking. And also considering they lost the derby, which, I mean, if you can't get your team up and hungry for the derby, then what's the point?
Yeah,
fair enough.
I would happen. I mean, either any of the three, whichever one either of you argued for, I'd be like, yeah, they've had a bad week, to be honest.
I also think I mentioned this off air in one of our conversations, but I'm getting a serious Parma vibes from this Genoa project, where the new American owners came in with a lot of positive vibes and great ideas, but on the pitch, the team is just not delivering, and Serie B beckons if they continue like this.
Yeah. And I think on the note of Serie B beckoning, I think Salernitana will probably have plenty of other opportunities to win bad week as well. So maybe we don't have to be so selective in this one.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's give it to Genoa. Bad week for Genoa. And with that, let's move on to keeping up with the Italians. Over to you, Baz.
It's a bumper edition this week, so I'm going to try and be as quick as possible. Over in a pointless league, Luca Malvicini scored a goal in the final to guarantee the Kaiser University men's soccer team their first ever victory in the NAIA National Men's Soccer Championship. So good for him. Over in Turkey, coach Francesco Farioli has been sacked from Karagümrük, which means there's one less person to talk about in Turkey for me, which is very upsetting. Moving quickly to the Bundesliga, 16-year-old Fabio Chiarodia made his debut for Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga 2, and that makes him the youngest ever player to play for Werder Bremen. So that's quite an achievement, although I'm old enough to remember when Werder Bremen were in the regularly in the top competitions, UEFA Cup, Champions League. So, you know, how things have changed. Over to the Premier League, our friend Jorginho got two penalties in a game, which really stings if you're an Italy fan, but he seems to be fine scoring with Chelsea. Moving to the middle of Europe, we have FC Zurich, who are leading the Swiss Championship, and my good friend Willy Gnotto got a brace. And in Austria, Kelvin Yeboah, who is Tony Yeboah's nephew, got another goal to bring him to 11 goals this season. And at this rate, maybe Mancini can consider him for the Qatar team, should Italy make it there. In good news, Cristiano Piccini scored his first goal after 3 years and after a long bout with injuries to give Valencia the 3 points. So credit to him for that. And lastly, a man who's very close to my heart, Carletto Ancelotti, who is 8 points clear of Seville, 8 points clear of Sevilla in the standings in Spain, and also 13 points clear of Atletico, 18 points clear of Barcelona, and well on the way in the Champions League. So, you know, the king is back, as they say.
Yeah. I've actually got an addition to this section as well this week, but I was sent in by our Madrid correspondent, Hector.
Ooh.
He noticed that the 36-year-old Alessio Lisci is the new head coach at Levante. He was previously a youth coach, Levante, bottom of La Liga. Let's see how he gets on. So thanks, Sector, for that one. And now it's time for the honourables and dishonourables. I will start off. We already mentioned this earlier, but just have to formalise the dishonourable for UEFA for messing up the draw and giving Inter a harder fixture.
I think you have to also give them a dishonourable for trying to blame the software company that was responsible for this, because, I mean, surely they're supposed to be... They're supposed to be across who has played each other already. I mean, they should have known when that was going on. But whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it does seem like a human error rather than a software thing, doesn't it? But, I mean...
That's what I always do. I blame a third-party software company whenever anything goes wrong in my life.
Just to stipulate, it is not a UEFA software product. It is a third-party software product.
Okay, Baz. Let's hear the honourable you've got for Zlatan this week.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored his 300th goal in Europe's top five leagues, thus being one of only three players who's currently active to reach this amazing benchmark. And if you consider that he spent 2 years in semi-retirement in Los Angeles. It's very impressive. I have to say that Milan are a little bit off the pace, and his age and his slight lack of pace definitely doesn't help the team. But he's such a character, and I mean, this is 300 goals is a testament to what a great player and how lucky we are to see him and these other guys who have topped this league.
Yeah, and Çalhanoğlu deserves an honourable this week. Obviously, Bars won't be giving it to him, but Kenny, I think, maybe.
Will it be Çalhanoğlu or will it be Alexis Sanchez? I think, I couldn't actually pick out my goals honourable this week until that game on Sunday night, because there were lots of really, really good goals. You mentioned the Berardi one, which very, very worthy. Also the Aramo goal for Venezia, although Chesney does get a hand to it. Whether that makes the goal actually better, that just the power behind it, Chesney couldn't actually keep hold of it. Sanchez, wonderful, wonderful technique from a ball falling out of the sky to kind of slap it home. But I think it goes to Çalhanoğlu. I think you're right, Oscar. There's absolutely no way that the keeper's getting that one. He kind of cuts in, he drifts in. The defender's given too much space, but he just, you know, tees it up absolutely perfectly and rockets it into the top corner. So yeah, he's gonna be my pick for my goals honourable this week.
Absolutely, and you don't really have to choose because if you just look up the intergame, you can watch both of them.
Exactly. YouTube. There you go. Check them both out on YouTube.
Baz, you've got an honourable for Gabbiadini.
I believe this must be a first, but Gabbiadini essentially scored a goal in the Genoa derby from the bench. Essentially, he scored his goal and then D'Aversa subbed him off while there was a VAR check going on. And Manolo Gabbiadini celebrated his goal from the bench with the rest of the players on the bench. So I think a world first, or at the very least a Serie A first for me.
Yeah, and Kenny, we mentioned earlier the Empoli goal. I think related to that, you've got an honourable for Andrea Zoli.
Yes, this is an honourable for Empoli manager Andrea Zoli for his quote after Empoli beat Napoli about the winning goal, where he was asked about it and he tried to claim that it was a set piece routine that they'd tried a lot in training. Obviously, very, very much tongue in cheek there, but I think he described Cutrone's winning goal there as in volleyball terms, I think it was like a veloce di volley or something like that. I don't watch volleyball, so I don't know what the technique is, but I can only imagine it means like a smash when someone smashes it and the wall
is
goes
like
up.
Is it a spike? Do they call it?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, I'm not sure, but yeah, the biggest freak goal of all times, and I think made all the better by Cutrone, who was asked about it. I'm not sure if he knew that his manager had been interviewed about it. He described it as, "The ball hit me in the face and I just about saw it going in." So there you go.
Yeah, lovely description. But as you've added an extra one in here, who is Dominique German?
Dominique German is Germany's answer to Vinny Italian in Italy. It's Domenico Tedesco, who in theory he should be fitting into the Keeping Up with the Italians section of this podcast. But I want to give him an honorable because he was appointed as Red Bull Leipzig's manager this week and promptly won 4-1 against Mönchengladbach. So good for him.
Mönchengladbach.
And then one closer to home for you, Baz, the Milan kitman.
Yeah, this is a dishonorable for the Milan kitman. Eagle-eyed viewers may have noticed that when Junior Messias entered the field, his shirt inexplicably said "Messias" with two E's instead of one. I don't understand how this mistake could be made, but didn't seem to bother Messias when he was running around trying to get the equalizer.
And final one for you, Kenny, just to give some credit to Atalanta, I believe.
Absolutely, yes, because Atalanta, for the first time in their history, have won 6 consecutive away games in Serie A. So, just to reiterate what we were saying earlier, I guess, everyone's talking up Inter's chances. Atalanta, famously, under Gasperini, tend to do better in the second half of the season. And let's leave it there and move on to the next.
Yeah, very well deserved. Boaz, let's Just do you want to wrap us up with a comedy mention?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to note that Inter so far have been awarded the most penalties in Serie A, 9. They've only scored 6 of those, but still, they top that table by quite a lot. And unsurprisingly, perhaps, Coach Inzaghi, as he was stepping off the field at San Siro, slipped down the stairs and gave quite a dramatic dive. So, very on form, very on brand.
He looked fine as well, so... I think we're okay to give that the comedy mention at the end. All right, that is all we've got time for this week. Thank you to everyone who has listened. If you don't already, please subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or if you get your audio. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at Scudetto Pod. We'll speak to you again next week. Until then, enjoy the football.
La Roma è campione d'Italia per la stagione 2000-2001.
Il titolo del 2008, l'Inter è campione d'Italia, 16° scudetto per la squadra nerazzurra.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.